Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Jay, welcome back to town. How you doing?
Hey, Dom. It's so good to be back on with you. I've missed you, my friend.
Well, absolutely. We have, too. We thought you might pop up here. I'm glad you responded to me. What do you say to those who in Philadelphia say, look, you guys, come on, you got to be kidding now. Can't you take a joke? This was just a joke at seven bus stops, costing God knows how much effort and work to put this together.
Funny how the jokes, pun intended, only go one way, right? I mean, this is a series of potential crimes. We need to know more. I got no faith in Larry Krasner or the Pennsylvania AG or Secretary of State to actually dig into this further. Maybe the NFL will, maybe the FTC will. But look, this is at least seven counts of vandalism. I believe it was seven different bus shelters. Destruction of property. Remember, they got into the actual ad space somehow. All of it, any mechanism, any means would have been unlawful. It was trespass for an illegal purpose to that space, a criminal trespass. Could be a FEC violation, depending on who did it. Certainly, the value of those ads likely exceed $3,300. Could be a Pennsylvania election law violation. There's at least two trademark infringements that belong to the Philadelphia Eagles and the National Football League in that fake ad. And is it counterfeiting? And it could fall under Pennsylvania or even federal law, especially if there was some sort of wire or hacking that was used. I know that's been denied, but we need to know more. And this is deliberate. Early voting starts in Pennsylvania very soon. We're on the cusp of the NFL season. Eagles fans are you know, out in droves. Does anyone in the state of Pennsylvania believe the Trump-Vance campaign, take out a billboard right out in front of the stadium, right off the highway there where everybody's kind of coming in, that says, the official candidate of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes.
Right? Right? And with Trump in a helmet, you know, J.D. Vance there in a sideline T-shirt, right? And the score is 270-0, right? I mean,
it's a great ad.
Does anyone believe that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, right. You know, somebody would have cracked this code a long time ago if that was legal, but it's not. And it doesn't matter how minuscule it is. It's the intent that matters. It's the absolute intent to commit a crime here. And a lot of effort went into this. This wasn't just a 8.5 by 11 that was thrown off of a bubble jet printer. It was exactly the size of the advertising mechanism inside of these bus stops. It was made to look official. It even took you to the Philadelphia Eagles website, where there is no endorsement of any candidate, just simply asks people to vote, which is great, very responsible. But look, this is how dumb the Democrats and liberals think that we all are. And if this was an individual that works for the city of Philadelphia or the state of Pennsylvania or the Philadelphia Eagles, for that matter, or the Democratic campaign or the Democratic Party inside of Pennsylvania, they need to be investigated. And they need to be nowhere near a polling station on election day. They've at least breached their fiduciary responsibility to their employer, whoever that might be. So we got to get to the bottom of it, because what's next?
Yeah, absolutely, Jay. And particularly, just put it on your radar screen, because I know you're doing a lot of national things. The governor, who's very prominent, Josh Shapiro, months ago convened Homeland Security, FBI, all kinds of law enforcement to say their top priority is to crack down on, stop misinformation, disinformation. And yet, no word on this. This would be a very teachable moment to say, this is what's going to happen to you if you engage in this.
Well, as long as serious people like Josh Shapiro are involved, right? I feel great confidence.
Yeah.
That, I mean, and look, this guy, Shapiro, was absolutely shunned by Kamala Harris, right? And for a lion sack of you know what, It's not worth the $1,000 fine from the FCC to say what he is. But I mean, think about Tim Walz. He was their biggest asset to counter the veteran in J.D. Vance. They vetted him for maybe 30, 40 seconds, right, before they said, yep. Yeah, he's the guy. Turns out he lies about everything. Like, I mean, I'm not even sure his name's Tim. It might be Bob. and he's just been faking it because he had a focus group that said Tim is a much more pleasant name than Bob in Minnesota. Who knows? I mean, Shapiro has it must take every bit of his 5'4 frame to not, you know, try to counter what Kamala.
Hey, I like what you did with that. You've been, my wife tells me all the time, Jay, come on now, you can't be saying anything about the guy's height. I don't know if it's 5'4", though. I might have to call you as two lawyers here. Well, one non-practicing me. He might be 5'5". I'm just saying, it might be. But, Jay, let's turn now to Judge Marchand and your legal expertise on this. Given the Supreme Court ruling, even Bragg put out some kind of statement or smoke signal saying, you know, we may have to go back over this because they clearly went after Trump on official acts. You would know this better than anybody now, and there's a Supreme Court metric that can't be used. And if they can't use that, they can't use any of it at this point.
Yeah, there was a motion filed by the Trump team to have this removed to federal court, and the federal judge ruled yesterday that it will not be removed. This needs to go to the Court of Appeals in New York. And, you know, this judge literally is 90 years old, the Bill Clinton appointee, and really just kind of ran past what you just said, Dom, which is, it's not just that he's immune from prosecution for official conduct. It's the secondary part of the immunity case, Trump versus the United States, was that the evidence of official conduct is never to be admitted to a jury. Now, there was mountains of it in Manhattan. The thing, just think back, his tweets, his speeches, his meetings with Hope Hicks, or even with Michael Cohen inside of the Oval, when he would get his checks, what his secretary said he would do when he would get those checks, and would he just sign them or read through them meticulously and write, or not checks, but he'd get the
invoices,
checks, and he'd also
yeah.
get the invoices yeah. as well, right? I mean, all of that was admitted. Now, those are all at least arguably or presumptively official acts that are subject to immunity. All that evidence was admitted. There was never an opportunity for the Trump team to actually have a meaningful hearing before Judge Marchand to determine whether or not those were official acts or not. And the third part of the Trump versus United States immunity case is that all of those rulings by Marchand, if they didn't go Trump's way, any of them, they're all appealed interlocutory, which means pretrial. You don't suffer the indignities of a trial for immune conduct. And so none of that has happened. Now, here we are, right? We're in the state of the world as it exists. Trump now has the opportunity to convince Marchand that at least some of that is reversible error because it was admitted. If Marchand disagrees, as he tends to do because he's the worst judge since Judge Ito in the OJ trial, the Trump team has the constitutional right to appeal those decisions interlocutory before he's sentenced. Now, there's others, you know, Andy McCarthy, good guy, smart guy for sure, believes that September 18th will still be the sentencing date. I don't see how that's possible. And I think even Alvin Bragg, right, sitting around Dunkin' Donuts one day, even realized that, hey, we probably admitted some evidence here that it makes this case reversible. We probably need to slow down sentencing and have a meaningful hearing about it. I don't know that Marchand will do that because, you know, his daughter's fundraising and it's all about family, Dom.
Did you see any way that Trump would be sent to jail here, Jay?
No.
Okay.
He has the ability to appeal any sentence, and he can post a bond that won't be $500 million. He can post a bond to while that case is on appeal. And don't forget, let no one forget, that there are 40 appellate issues here, to include the immunity, but they're just on the admissibility, the relevance. The Harvey Weinstein case right in the middle of the Trump trial came down, and sure enough, it was, you know, based on, look, you guys admitted a bunch of irrelevant evidence in the Manhattan DA's office against Harvey Weinstein, and a guy who, you know, at least by all counts, was incredibly guilty or culpable. The Supreme Court, which is the Court of Appeals in New York, they said, hey, we're reversing this verdict and sending it back. And so, you know, I feel like, you know, it depends on the judges Trump draws, but he has a lot of appellate avenues here. He's never going to see a day in jail. And Mershon would be a fool, a ridiculous fool, to try to take these crimes, based on the types of crimes that are occurring in New York that result in no jail time, right? And say, you know what, this does deserve some time at Rikers, right? I mean, that to me is where the real injustice could be here, in the absolute bias, the permissive bias that Juan Mershon has shown all along, and it would be rocket fuel. Go ahead, say, give him a day. Go ahead. You know what? Trump should you know, go in there, get a contraband phone, start tweeting from jail, right?
Rikers Island, yes.
Yeah, they're all over. They're all over Rikers. No biggie, right? You walk in, he'll get six of them, right, handed to him. And it'd be rocket fuel for the guy, because this is lawfare. This is absolute. I resisted that for a long time, saying that it was lawfare.
Yeah, you were definitely. Hey, Jay, great to talk with you again. What are you up to now? What is your main job right now?
Well, I mean, other than my day job at Gray Analytics, I'm certainly helping the campaign anyway. They deem appropriate, certainly with these legal issues that are coming up, that, you know, the Hunter Biden case comes on tomorrow. That's going to be a very salacious set of facts. Remember, it's not just a tax evasion case. The things he was using to evade taxes is, you know, was, you know, prostitutes and drug deals, right? So, I mean, that's all coming out, and that's not going to be helpful to Kamala and Walz, because they can't divorce themselves from Joe Biden. They just can't.
Okay. Well, Jay, thank you again. Anytime. We love having you here in Philadelphia.
Anytime, Don.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.